You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner is here now to mark D-Day, the day the Allies invaded Western Europe in World War II.
Next week, we remember the greatest amphibious invasion in history, D-Day, June 6, 1944, the invasion of Normandy, a date everyone who was alive at the time marks as one of the most significant days of their lives. It was the beginning of the end of Nazi Germany. For the first time in a war filled with uncertainty and fear, the Allies felt victory within their grasp. The weather during that first week of June was stormy. Dwight D. Eisenhower, Supreme Commander of the Allied forces in Europe, questioned whether or not tens of thousands of soldiers, sailors, and airmen would be able to launch this great crusade across the English Channel. The Allies knew that Adolf Hitler had placed his most famous general, Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, in command of the Atlantic defenses and had moved large forces to defend the Atlantic Wall. The Germans expected the Allies to cross at the shortest distance from England at or near the port of Calais. Thus, the Allied High Command prepared to invade at the more difficult site of Normandy. Normandy had beaches, but directly behind them were cliffs, which the Germans had studded with large guns. The Americans and British were each assigned beachheads, and both sides realized that the first 24 hours would tell whether or not the invasion would succeed. The Allies feared that they might gain the beaches but fail to secure the heights, so they planned to drop thousands of paratroopers and other forces landing in gliders behind the heights, providing an assault that would sandwich the German defenders between two pincers. One of the most famous images of the war is of General Eisenhower talking with the paratroopers before they left for France. He and the remainder of the Allied command believed that, no matter the outcome, the losses would be horrible. The force was so massive that the troops who were to land on the beaches were kept in ships for days. Storms racked the North Sea and the English Channel, and they pummeled them, and most of the men were seasick. When Eisenhower gave the order to execute the invasion, no one was sure whether the vessels could make the short trip to the French coast or whether the aircraft dropping the paratroopers or leading the gliders could fulfill their missions. The weather broke long enough for the forces to reach the coast. What about the Germans? Rommel believed the assault would be at Normandy. The Germans played war games to mimic the invasion. Rommel was assigned the command of the Allies and determined that the attack would be there. However, Rommel was on leave seeing his family when the assault began. Hitler, believing that the attack would be at Calais, had withheld two armored divisions. Because Hitler had given the orders not to be disturbed from his sleep, his aides obeyed, and when the attack began before dawn, they refused to wake him with the news. This prevented the armored divisions at Calais from being redirected to Normandy and delayed the appearance of the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe. Despite the failure to deploy these elite forces, the outcome wavered back and forth, and the result just as easily could have been a victory for the Axis powers as for the Allies. Although the war in Europe would last another 11 months, it was June 6, 1944, that set the stage for the fall of Berlin. Talk to a World War II veteran, ask him about his memories of D-Day, and thank him for his contributions to your freedom today. Let a World War II veteran tell you why history matters.
Commentator Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport. You can find previous installments of History Matters on our website at redriverradio.org. Click on the word commentaries at the bottom of the page. Morning Edition continues in a moment here on your public radio station, Red River Radio.